Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. This week is Mother's Day, and I want to talk about the experience of being a mom, parenting tips for being a good mom, how to raise amazing children, and how to do all the things. I am a mother of four kids, and I think being a mother has really defined who I am. It's been a very hard road raising kids while having a career. And if you're someone who has kids, you know what I'm talking about. You sometimes feel like you're a hot mess, but that's okay. We are busy, busy ladies. We lead busy lives. Some of us work professionally. Some of us are working in the home as homemakers. All of us are trying to do our best on being a mom. So some things that I've learned over the years, I have three girls, one boy, one set of twins was in that bunch. And over time, I've just learned to be kinder to myself about being a parent. You shouldn't compare yourself to other parents. When you are raising your kids, you're the mother and the mom knows best. It's not your grandma telling you what to do. It's not the teacher. It's not a counselor. It's you. You know your own child best. When you see how other mothers are raising their children, you might doubt your own skills. You might question if you're providing enough, if you are enough. You are enough. Your child wants love. They don't want a perfectly organized house with everything labeled and in its own place. And they don't necessarily need to have every activity on the planet to get happiness and love. They need free time with you. And one of the most important things about being a mom is taking care of your own self, your well-being, and your health. Moms always put themselves last, as you know. It's children first, then your partner, then the house, then the office, and then lastly, well, then your parents, and then you. And neglecting yourself definitely will cause you to be stressed, resentful, sick. You have to prioritize yourself. I can't tell you how often I've had friends or family members put off their own health issues in order to take care of others and then end up in a crisis situation where they really wish they'd acted sooner. Eat a balanced diet, participate in relaxation activities like yoga, take a day away from the kids. It's not always possible, but you can do at least 15 to 20 minutes where you just lock yourself in your room. And I used to do this when I'd come home from work, come home from residency. As soon as you open the house door, they can just smell your pheromones and tell that you're home. These children, puppies, children, husbands, they can all tell. So sneak into the house, go down into your room and decompress. You need to chill, relax, and decompress and take a peel away the day. I used to always take a shower to get rid of hospital germs. And that was my opportunity to like peel off my work outfit, shower, compartmentalize life and problems, and put on my home clothes, my soft, comfy sweats and things. And that was my cue psychologically to be at home in my home uniform. We women, we wear a lot of uniforms. We wear the work clothes. We come home and change shifts and do the night shift at home. We do the homework. We do the dinner. We got to tidy up, get ready for the next day, run the social calendar, all of the things. But that act of changing into that, you know, home outfit and giving yourself 10 or 15 minutes is just really important to reset your brain. You need to compartmentalize your life. You need to not bring the stress of home into the home. And you need to put your phone away and be physically present, mentally present when your children are around you. It's too easy to let technology invade your couple hours of precious free time with your kids. And I'm a big fan of just kind of putting the phone in the charger, leaving it, and going to get some outdoor sun and rays as soon as you can, right when you get home. It's the best way to reset your brain. I think that we often prioritize the children getting exercise, health, and sunshine and activities, and we work all day. We're stuck inside buildings. We never get enough sunshine. I really encourage outdoors for kids. Kids are like puppies. They need to run, exercise, and eat. And if they do all of the above, they'll be playful, happy, and fun kids. I want you guys to encourage your kids to set goals, regardless of how big or small they are, and reward the goals and be supportive. And don't start a reward system that's monetarily based all the time. Kids do best when they realize that they have sometimes to struggle to achieve their goals. So it helps us to have ambitious kids who want to achieve things, not fearful kids who don't want to venture into a new project or an idea until they're guaranteed to succeed. We want kids to be okay with failure. I'm going to try it just because I think I can handle it. If I couldn't handle it, so be it, but I tried it. So encourage that attitude of trying new things and encourage confidence. One of the most important things you can do is talk to your children in a manner that shows that you think that they are intelligent, witty, brilliant, and capable and resourceful, and that you're not going to do things for them, but you're going to watch them and guide them, and it's okay if they fail. Your kids need to feel confidence to try new things. With girls, they're not confident. My own kids, my own three daughters that I've encouraged to try for difficult internships and jobs, that women in general make themselves qualify for 100% of job qualifications before they'll even apply for it. And in the case of men, 50%. So they might only have 50% of the job qualifications, but they'll apply anyway, thinking that they are smart enough to learn once they get their foot in the door. So women out there, we need to teach our girls to be more assertive, more confident, and sometimes more masculine in the way that they do things, with a little bit of disregard for following every rule, being a little bit of a rule breaker, and teaching them it's okay to not meet every qualification before you try something. I think communication is key. You need to be actively involved in your kids' life when they need it and when you think it's necessary, but not to the extent that they don't have a choice of their own. After four kids, I've learned that you need to pick your battles, and you can't always go from 0 to 10 on the nuclear scale when something goes wrong. Kids are going to make mistakes, and they're going to screw up, and it's going to be at home. You know, one of my kids' teachers told me, like, your kids are great all day at school. They have to hold it in and behave and respect and follow the rules. So it's okay if they're a little bit naughty at home. They need that little bit of time to relax and burst, a little burst of, you know, irreverent childhood. So it's okay. Let them have a few minutes of mischief. Don't explode. If you're the parent that explodes, and there's always one, there's the good cop and the bad cop, and everybody's scared of the bad cop, and they tend to enforce the rules. That was my husband, and I'm the pushover who always gets manipulated and has to say things 50 times to get things done. But there's trade-offs. I think, you know, kids are more likely to come to you when they realize you're not going to go nuclear with the very first set of problems, questions, or concerns. So create an environment where they'll be open to communicate with you. Sit down and listen. Be a listener. Don't be a problem solver. Just listen and understand their reasons for certain behaviors. If they enjoy playing video games, sit down and play a video game with them and try to figure out what's so good about it. And maybe this is their mechanism of de-stressing or interacting, making friends. Try to be involved in the activities that they do. And with regards to academics and assignments, you need to make your child the boss of that homework. It can't be you regulating all the time and telling them what to do, when to do. Let's work on the essay. Let's turn on the, you know, work on the project. It becomes then your responsibility. And as a busy working mom, I really have enough responsibility. So in the beginning, I was the helicopter tiger mom who hovered over my twins, checked their backpacks, checked every assignment, and made sure they were getting things done. And with my fourth child, my precious, amazing daughter, three strikes. It took three times to get the fourth one perfect. I always tell my older kids that, and they laugh. But she was really very independent. I actually don't ever know when any of her homework is due, when she has any kind of tests, and I don't even have to wake her up for school. So I have completely changed and made her in charge of her own assignments, accountability for her own work, turning things in on time. And then I keep a peripheral eye on things and try to monitor her for stress and try to help when I know she needs it, when I see that she's struggling. So I think that's something that I would have done sooner with the other kids had I known that it would be so good for them. I know that moms are so busy, but try to find time to go to school and do things at school with your kids. They're so proud of you. They want to show you off in the classroom, on a field trip, as a room mom. It's definitely important to learn who their friends are. Your kids are the sum total of the five friends that they hang out with. And so if you don't know who those five kids are, you should know. You should put them in the carpool and listen to what they're talking about while you're driving around and they're gabbing in the back seat. You definitely should have sleepovers and parties at your house where you get to see their behavior and understand, like, oh, I see a mean streak in that kid, or I see, you know, a really kind, generous, sweet person. Like, you want to pick the right people to hang out with. And that goes for the parent group too. So important to choose the right friends and parents. You can only do that when they're little. But the things you do when they're little are going to influence their choices when they're older. So, you know, we have a responsibility to brainwash our kids a little bit and indoctrinate them with our way of thinking, because they're our kids. And we have suffered through life and experience and time, and we have, you know, wisdom to give them. So it's okay to impart on them some of our way of doing things. And, you know, if you think it's certain things are important that are going to hit them later in life, my mom always taught me that I should be brainwashing my kids a little bit. So tell them at an early age how important family is. Tell them at an early age how you really want them to be married someday and settle down with someone they can grow old with. Tell them early on if you think kids are important, or if you think it's important for them to travel, to experience things, you know, to be flexible, to be open. Just, they need to hear our opinions, you know, that I want you to get married, that I never want you to live with someone without getting married. Like, all these cultural, religious and important things that are traditional that we grew up with from our family influences, you should say them early on and frequently, because all of that percolates through a child's brain and helps them to create sort of their ethics, morals, and integrity that they're going to grow up with and the character that they develop. So I think that's a wise lesson, and I've tried to sprinkle some of those things into just daily life and daily conversation. And when you see people behaving poorly, you point that out. When you see people behaving well, you point that out. So, so important. I would say we also gave some of our children technology too early. I would never give a kid a cell phone before ninth grade, because once they get that phone in their hand, you're only going to ever see the top of their head. Just remember that. And the more that you are able to interact with them, the more, you know, time you spend with them, less time they're in a device, the better childhood they're going to have. It's going to be a much better experience for the both of you. I think we spent a lot of time with reading. We went to the library, checking out 20 books at a time. We had quiet reading time in the afternoons. I definitely made kids spend time reading in order to earn time on devices. So for every 60 minutes of reading, you get 30 minutes of screen time. I think that was super awesome. Oftentimes allowing TV, but only with titles and captions, so they had to read. Showing them TV shows that were beneficial for character building, like Little House on the Prairie, The Brady Bunch, Bewitched, and Gilligan's Island. Of course, all the innocent fun shows that we grew up with. That was so fun to give them those shows to watch so they understood a little bit of values. And they're so timeless that they love those shows, actually. We stayed away from the Disney Channel because those kids are sassy and they talk back to their parents. And I do not like that sassy Disney attitude. So there's so many things you can do. Reading was the number one most important thing we did for our kids. And number two is probably influencing like really great math skills. And number three was me cloning myself. If I'm busy at work, I finally realize that I need to have help. And I am the best version of myself if I can push off some of my work that I can't have on my plate and give it to someone who can do the job better and competently and make sure that it's getting done. I used to take home a pile of charts until one day my husband was like, why are you staying up till 2 a.m. every single night doing charts? You need to hire an assistant or a scribe to come in the rooms with you. And I just realized that that was exactly what I needed to do. And it just simplified my life so much. And it was such a good quality of life improvement. And since then, I've made room for more helpers. So a housekeeper, a nanny, you know, tutors, math tutor especially. It's hard to do these high-level math things that the kids do these days. And tutors, you know, the kids listen much better to tutors. So having people in a little circle or community around you is so important. You can't be an island and expect to survive the storm of childhood, teenagehood, and young adulthood. You need a whole support structure around you, and that means a good executive assistant at work, a great home housekeeper helper, and, you know, just you're buying time and happiness. As you get older, you want to prioritize time, more time for yourself, more experiences, and more happiness. You don't need more money. You need more time and more happiness. And that comes from spending time with family and your kids, and that comes from prioritizing. And I think that's one of the best tips that I've learned being a mom, is giving the kids your time is the single most important thing that they want from you, just your time. So guys, that is sort of my heartfelt, all my tips and tricks for raising good kids. I know that I was raised by an amazing mom, the best mom in the world, who made me creative, intelligent, hardworking. And, you know, she has 4 kids and 12 grandkids, and I love her to the moon. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there, and to my own mom. God bless, and thank you for raising this next generation of kids that's going to help take care of us. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful, and happy Mother's Day.